Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 215 on Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. And like always, we are brought to you by Amazon.com. You can go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. Anything you buy there subsequently is going to help us out a little bit. We get a little bit of a kickback on that, and we really appreciate it. It helps us keep the show going and the site going, things like that. So had some awesome weather today, and I'm going to ask my co-host, Bob, how was your guys' weather?
Oh, it was, it's been gloomy for the past couple days.
Yeah.
But the sun did come out today. So I'm in Pittsburgh, you're in Wichita. So
yep.
The sun came out for a little bit, which is nice because we've all been stuck inside. I know a lot of us have. And being able to have sun outside when you go outside is a plus, I feel.
Yeah. And it was a little like tricky the other day because it was nice and sunny, but it was cold again. We've just had like 70s weather and then back down to the 40s and rainy and cloudy and foggy. And then today it kind of cleared up, and I think it almost reached 80 today, which was really awesome.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's nice. It was probably in the 50s or 60s today, but just the sunlight, I feel like the sunlight just makes a big difference.
Oh yeah,
I would say
definitely.
But yeah, so how's your social distancing going?
Not as good as I wish. I work in an essential industry. So I'm still around coworkers a bit. I mean, everybody's really trying to kind of keep that distance. But what I'm working with is deploying systems to people to work remotely, and just, there's a lot of interaction and, stuff like that. So not as great as I wanted it to be. But you know, we'll get there. Yeah. Trying to stay as safe as possible.
Not much has all changed. I don't go to my office in the city, but I've been here. The only real difference is that Kayla, my girlfriend, is home. And she's been cleaning the house, which is nice. So we have that.
There you go.
But yeah, let's jump into reviews this week. And for everybody following along on the live stream, or if you are listening to later in the audio, we do have our show notes page that has everything that we're talking about. So you can go ahead and follow along and click through and, you know, get all the information, or just follow us along in there. So this week, I took a look at a monitor, which if you follow me on Twitter, you saw that I said that this is the monitor that's made for me. And I really think that
it's got to be pretty wide then, right?
Yeah. So for me, ever since I went to an ultra wide, I absolutely fell in love with the screen size. It is perfect for productivity work. So if I wish I could show you like my entire screen, but you know, this window that I have right here, I have another one right beside it. And they're the exact same size. And it's like, I would say like an ultra wide is like having two 24 inch monitors side by side. And it's a 34 inch. And it's so good for productivity. So basically you have two monitors sitting in front of you, but you don't have the damn borders, which is the most annoying thing I would say about having a multi-monitor setup is the borders. Nobody likes borders.
Right.
And it still is the perfect size, I think, where you're not looking side by side all that much, at least for me. I'm really used to it. So MSI sent their Optics MPG341CQR, which gives me that 34 inch ultra wide that I like. But the biggest thing for the past couple of years is the ultra wides weren't really targeted towards gamers because they couldn't offer the higher refresh rate. Well, this monitor has 144 hertz refresh rate, and it has the UWQHD, which is essentially widescreen 1440p. A lot of the other ones that gave you a little bit higher of the refresh rate were only 1080 height. So that's kind of, you don't want that. You just don't get enough space with that, I don't think. So this monitor, like I said, it gives you those two things. So you have the higher refresh rate and basically the widescreen 1440 for gamers, but then for people who want productivity, you have the wider screen, you have all that screen real estate as well. So you get a lot with this monitor. And you know, for me, like I said, I really, really like this monitor. It has an awesome stand, and I think that for stands, they're people don't think about them all that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How deep is it? Like, I know it looks pretty wide, right? But is there a deep? No. Okay.
Yeah. It's
because I'm used to seeing like that third leg out the back that kind of takes up so much desk real estate.
Yeah. It's decently big. But the thing about it is it's so effortless. And this is a big monitor. Mm-hmm. And I hate having to like really forcefully move things up and down. So this stand is awesome. It's not, it doesn't take up a whole lot of desk space. You can see how the legs here are kind of like, you know, they come out, but they don't take up a whole lot of space, which I really like. You know, and then it's, you can move the monitor up and down and side to side, which is pretty typical for ultra wides. You're not going to get rotation because this is a curved screen as well. So you have that 1800R curve, which I believe is pretty much perfect for a 34 inch. You know, for me, it is. It's pretty much like right on, you know, right on par there, which I do like as well. The stand also has this hole here, so you get your cable routing, no problem. You
is
have
that an aluminum stand, or is it just like plastic that was kind of molded with the?
It actually, I'm not sure. I know the base is aluminum. The base is metal, for sure. I'm not sure about this piece. But you have a USB hub on this as well. So, you know, you can, it has an audio pass through too. So for gamers, you can plug in your USB headset to the side, you can plug in your mouse, or if you have a regular headset, you can plug all that in as well, which is kind of nice. You don't have to, you know, go around the back of your tower or anything like that. It does have RGB, which I'll get to here, on the back and the front. The back is just kind of like this little accent here. It serves absolutely no purpose besides just looking cool. It's not going to light up the back like your wall or anything like that. It just looks cool. That's basically it. But the RGB on the front, let me
see. The MSI logo is RGB as well, isn't it? On the back?
No, it is not. Yeah. It's reflective. It's a reflective logo there. Gotcha. But the RGB on the front, you can see we have these five little panels. And you can, of course, control all this with the MSI RGB software, or these panels specifically work with the SteelSeries GameSense. So you can go into GameSense, and what you can do is you can set it to react to certain things. So, you know, I have it here for Counter-Strike. There's only a few games supported in the SteelSeries. Counter-Strike is one of them. So on this side, I would have my ammo. On this side, I have my health. And then as I use it, you can see, like, I use some ammo. It goes down. Health is on this side. I had middle for shield. But there's only a couple games. Like, the games that we know that are really supported are Counter-Strike and Dota 2. That's it. No new games, really, which is a little bit disappointing. But I don't think that's... The only other companies that offer that same type of functionality are Razer, but Razer makes monitors, so I don't think MSI would team with them. Yeah. So this is kind of a little disappointing because unless you're playing CSGO or Dota 2, the front RGBs, again, serve no
purpose. Yeah, at the same time, though, like, I'm not going to be looking down at these lights to figure out what my health is. I mean, I can understand it being like an aura or just an ambient light. That kind of makes sense, but I'm not going to look at these light bars below to look at my game stats.
Yeah, it's a little, like I said, it's more gimmicky. The other gimmicky thing is that there's actually a webcam right in the center. That webcam is not a traditional webcam. It is used to, so if I sit down, it will recognize my, you know, me.
Windows Hello.
It does not work with Windows Hello.
What?
Yeah, at least not that I know of. It sits down and it recognizes that it is me, and it will apply my monitor settings, which is kind of cool. Secondly, it's an ambient light sensor. So it would actually actively change the brightness of the monitor based on your environment. Sadly, this did not work at all. The camera was detected by Windows, but then when I went to use it, it said, please confirm that your webcam is working, which was a bit of a... Yeah, I couldn't get it to work. I read other reviews where they didn't get it to work either, but then I've also read reviews where they did get it to work. So my biggest thing is, one, how many people sit down at your computer that need their own settings?
Right.
Not many. Mm-hmm. Two, I think that I don't change my brightness on my monitor if I turn my lights off. I don't either. So I just think it's real gimmicky. And the fact that you can't use it for Windows Hello and the fact that you can't use it as a traditional webcam is kind of, you know, mm-hmm. you know. So you have that. Other accessories that come with this, which two I thought were pretty useful, is there's actually a mouse bungee that connects to the monitor that you easily install. And you connect it there and it works. You can put it on the left or right bottom of the monitor mm-hmm. and it's a nice little mouse bungee, just a nice little accessory. Again, this is targeted towards gamers. So I thought that was a nice little accessory. And then you have this camera mount, which I thought was super, like, it's awesome because all these cameras, like the one I'm using right here, it has the common, I think this is a 3/8 thread.
Yeah, thread.
Mm-hmm. Everything has that thread. All the digital cameras you have, all the webcams have that thread, and it's a ball mount, which means that you can adjust it and move it however you like. You can see my webcam. I was able to move it and adjust it more. And this can go anywhere on the top of the monitor. So I think that is a nice little accessory that you don't get, obviously.
Clamp on or slide or how does it?
There's like a little groove in the top, and it just clamps right on.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be so nice.
And it should hold most webcams, smaller cameras, I would say. It's not going to hold like a DSLR, but it's going to hold, you know, a decent amount of weight, I would think. So
I could see that like becoming a thing, maybe, because like you're showing there the C920 or 922. That's what I've got on mine. And you're just kind of stuck with Logitech's funky grip design and you can't really like move it around a lot. I think this is great.
Yeah, it's just like again, these things, like again, when it comes to monitors, besides obviously high response time, high, you know, like 144 hertz, 240 hertz, like what else do gamers want? And it's nice that MSI has kind of give you some more accessories, I would say.
Yeah.
The other cool thing is that I've talked about this before and we've seen Gigabyte do it. We've seen a couple other companies do it. MSI is doing it as well, is that all of your monitor settings, yes, they can be accessed with the little joystick behind the monitor, but who wants to do that, right?
Yep.
You have this gaming OSD. You have to have the monitor connected via USB to your computer. But if you do, you get access to this, which is all of your monitor settings in software rather than on your monitor screen with that joystick that takes forever to do.
Nice.
Some cool things in here that you can do is that, of course, you can put in your crosshairs if you want. Some people think that's cheating, but you can do that. You can actively show your refresh rate on the screen. You can set alarms, which is kind of interesting as well. So like you can put alarms on the screen. So like, oh, I only want a game for 30 minutes. You can actually put that on the screen. You can do picture in picture very easily here as well. Super easy to set all that up. And then you have all these different settings. Like this is the user setting, but you can change your brightness, contrast, all that stuff. But then there's ones for FPS, racing, RTS, all those, which is really nice as well. And then you have something that I think, because you have such a large screen size, is really cool, is the split window. So like just like how I have here, I have two windows side by side. But, you know, like if, you know, we're going to be streaming later, if you're That's streaming, right. it has this thing where you can, you know, select a layout. Like you can see how all mm-hmm. these are different. You know, you can select a layout and then be like, okay, I want this, you know, here, here, here. And then you just hit apply and it moves those windows over. So you have this perfect layout for, you know, your windows, which
Windows is actually coming out with something like that, or in their latest release was kind of like remembering nice. Where those are and those custom sizes. But yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, because I know like for two windows, it's pretty easy. You can snap one to one side and snap one to other. I like live by that. But, you know, like say we're streaming like this one right here, we'd have our stream or our game be the big one. Maybe, you know, OBS be the smaller one. And then the other smaller one might be like the Twitch chat or something, you know. Yep. I think that is really cool as well. And then, like I said, as far as performance goes, you know, this monitor, it's 144 hertz. It's not G-Sync certified, but it works with G-Sync. We had G-Sync turned on and it worked no problem. It's also AMD FreeSync. So you can use this with, you know, so you won't have any tearing or anything like that in your games. As you can see, like perfect side by side here, you know, as far as productivity. I just think for somebody who wants this much screen real estate, but also wants a high, once a high refresh rate. I think this is one of the better choices. Also with the extra accessories, the only thing I don't like about it is a webcam, which adds extra, it just adds extra cost. And I think the RGBs on the front are kind of gimmicky, and the ones in the back don't really serve a purpose besides looking cool. So this monitor is, I believe it's $699. It is a VA panel. I didn't say that as well. It is a VA panel. It performs really well. And one thing I also really liked about it, out of the box, it's very well calibrated. Like, I didn't have to change things around. Like, I just plugged it in and it was pretty good. Like, I didn't have to adjust a lot. I know a lot of monitors, like, you really have to go into the settings. This I didn't have to as well. $699 for this.
Now, this is not HDR, is it?
It is it's certified HDR 400.
Okay.
I would say HDR 400 is like the baseline.
Yeah.
And you're not really going to get that great HDR experience. So again, it's only 400 and it's a brightness. So I just don't think that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider this an HDR monitor. Yeah, you can turn it on. It's not going to make a massive difference, I would say. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But for, again, like, this is a monitor that I'm sad that I'm using the monitor that's in front of me because I had
to go back to it.
Yeah, I had to go back to it. So, you know, for $699, it is a little expensive, but it has a lot of features. I think that this is a monitor that's going to last you a very long time, and you're going to be really happy with the results. And at 144 hertz, depending, you know, if you're using that full screen real estate, you're going to need like a 2080 Super, nice car, yeah, or a 2080 Ti to even hit 144 hertz. So it's going to be, you know, you're going to be using this for a very long time. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. Definitely, like I said, if you're into that screen, if you're into ultra wides and you want to game at the same time, it is the perfect monitor.
Cool.
And old man in the chat says Amazon delays shipments of non-essential items by up to a month. Yeah, I've noticed that. I've only been ordering certain things, but yeah, I don't know if you've tried to order anything on Amazon.
I haven't, but I'm not like, I don't order that often from them anyhow, so it's not that.
I order things like my Monster from there because it's the cheapest. And this is a month delayed, which is not very great. But yeah, I try to order toilet paper. That there's a lot of that's just not happening there as well. I think about the Amazon orders is too, is it will show it as being in stock, but if it's not in stock in your local
distribution center,
distribution center, it will show a month. Like, it will take a month to get there. So it's kind of, but I think that's like what they're doing is good for essential items because I think a lot of people need those essential items. So, So we'll talk about another really cool product. One we saw almost a year ago. A little over a year ago at CES 2019, and it's finally come out, and they finally made it work correctly.
I almost felt like I was like, is this a new version of it? But no, it's just that we didn't see it yet.
Yeah, we didn't see it. So this is the Patriot Viper VPR 100. It is a PCI Express Gen 3 M.2 solid state drive. The big thing with this is that it has RGBs. Of course, we've put RGBs on pretty much everything. So having RGBs on your M.2 is just another way to bling out your system. I was crazy into the RGB. You guys all know this. And then as Ryan said, it's like RGB puke. And now it's kind of like you want to tone it back a little bit. But I think this is a really great, it's not crazy in your face. And I think that the way that they've done it with just like these little, I don't know what you call these, just like these little diffusers here, it just, it makes it, and it looks so much better in person. Like the pictures that I'll show you, they really don't do it justice, I would say. I mean, it looks really good in person.
I know when we saw that first version, and I'm not sure how similar this is. You know, I'm sure they made some design changes, but I remember it looking pretty nice. And
yeah,
it doesn't look, no, I like how they've done the.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And, or anything.
The biggest thing that the reason why you don't see so many RGB M.2 drives is the fact that, well, you'll see in this is that one, certain RGB settings will actually decrease your performance.
Right.
Secondly, is that you have to make it work with software. Nobody wants wires. And the cool thing that they actually did on this was they mounted the RGB LEDs on. You can see them. There's like one right there. There's one right there. Like they mounted them on the PCB itself. So all the actual heatsink, all it is a big diffuser with an actual heatsink. That's all it is. So all of your RGB elements are actually on the M.2 drive itself. That allows the RGB LEDs to talk through that bus. I think it's DMI bus. Is that what it's actually called?
I think so. Yeah.
It allows you to do that. So that, you know, you can go ahead and do it through their, wrong page. You can go ahead and do it through their software. And the software works pretty well. It's their Viper RGB software. You have five, so I think it's just like there's five RGB LEDs on each side. You can control both, like those two, all individually. And then you can do a bunch of different effects. There's like,
so it's not every spot that the diffuser is visible. It's just spread out across. So it's not like there's, eight on top and eight on the bottom. It's correct. The five across. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you can set different effects. But what's great about it, too, is because it is talking to your computer, you can also interact with it with your motherboard software. So, like, this is, we tested on a Gigabyte board. So this is your RGB Fusion software. It sees the RGB, and we can, you know, set different things. Now, the interesting thing about this is that because you're doing certain RGB effects and it's using obviously the same connection that you're throwing data through, you're going to get some performance slowdown. So this Crystal Diskmark is just with the with it running, no software installed, nothing. So you can see we're at 31 read, 32 write, basically. And if you look, like, these are the different effects. You get some, like, you know, you can see the write takes a hit on using the Viper software, you know. And then we go to the Gigabyte effects, and you can see that they even take more of a hit. And I think it's, like, especially this one, like, the pulse. I think, the crazier the effect, the more of a performance hit you're going to take. You know what I mean? But this is one of the only RGB M.2 SSDs you can get. The performance, like, this is the basic performance. It is really good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Looks pretty good.
For a Gen 3 drive,
exactly.
You know, if you want RGBs on your M.2, this is one of the only ones you can do. And the software works and it's not buggy, which we've seen with a few other ones. Mm-hmm. And I think the RGB, like the actual RGB effects themselves, look really good. And it's just, like I said, it's very just, you know,
looks cool.
Yeah, it just looks really good there. So I believe I gave this a 9 out of 10 as well. And the 1 terabyte version is $179.99, which just puts it pretty much around the price of a Gen 4 drive. But again, it is the only drive that you're going to get that has RGBs on it on an M.2. So
I'm more interested in this bra advertisement actually right now. So
I know, right?
Yeah. Work on that SEO.
Yeah. But 9 out of 10. Cool. They do back it up with a 5-year warranty as well. So like I said, so very cool. Just a cool product. And like, this is going to look awesome in the system, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I had it on the test bench and it looked great. And I think it's going to look even better in a full hopefully system with a window,
GPUs and stuff, but yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So definitely check that out as well. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. This week I have a build that I don't think you're gonna like because you said you don't like these types of builds.
Okay. You mean for this week or this one's?
For this week.
Okay.
So this is called Project Omega.
Yep.
And this was, I believe this was Thermaltake's, whatever their modding contest is called. Mm-hmm. And the reason I don't think you're going to like it is because it has all like the emblems and stuff like all over it, you know?
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, I actually like quite a few things in this build.
Tell me what your favorite thing is. I'll tell you if it's my favorite thing.
Okay. So it's probably the angled res with the frosted glass and the frosted tubing. Yep.
We
and I like that color, that orangish red color. Like, I wish that this was more of a Ryzen build. I know, obviously, the Ryzen symbol is and logo is there, and AMD on the front, and you know, I'm sure this is a tight ASRock build with the gears. I wish that they would have changed the lighting on the fans to match this or something, because I think that color looks awesome.
Yeah, that. So we've seen builds with frosted tubing. I don't know. Have we? I don't know if I've seen one with a frosted res. But yeah, just like, I think, to me, I think the frosting makes it look better, but you have to get the good coolant that looks good in the tubing, I think. But yeah, I think this one's, and like I said, it has all, like, you know, the 50th anniversary type stuff in there. It has all this little clockworks. Did they use an ass? Yeah, they did use an ass. They must have used a Tai Chi board, because all the little clockwork symbols and stuff like that. Uses these awesome T-Force Delta.
Yeah, it's that has Tai Chi Ultimate.
Yeah, that has the RGBs on here, which I really like.
They like did some stuff to kind of have a color theme with, like, those they're not called rivets, I don't think, but all those screws with the orange washer type stuff. But then they just turned the drives on to RGB and fans to RGB. I just wish they would have. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I completely get what you're saying. I think that I like it. But yeah, if it would have, and here's what the fans turned off.
Yeah,
it just would have been nice to, you know, all these
have fans a nice orange glow there.
Yeah, but the graphics card is orange. You can kind of see it right there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it would have been nice if it had that kind of that orange glow. But I think it's a good build. I haven't seen a build or that many where you have these kind of look. They kind of look like NOS, you know, like sitting kind of like that. Haven't seen that in a while. So very cool. And this was done by Tech Red Mods. I think this is the first build that we've had from him. So
a little bit of 3D printing in there too, like the Ryzen logo and symbol is 3D printed, and
nice.
A couple of the other pieces are as well. Yeah, actually a lot of it. So yeah.
That's awesome. Very cool. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Of course, we have our full Case Mod Friday section. So if you're want to find a build or mod or anything like that, you can go ahead and do that. And then next up, we have our video this week. And our video this week is of, I'm going to bring it up so you can see me on the screen here, is for the Saberint Rocket NVMe 4.0. So we did a video review. We already reviewed this a few weeks back, but we're doing a video review and we're giving one away. So the link is in the YouTube the description, but we did a video on this because I think that one, it has the biggest heat sink that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that thing's huge.
Yeah, let me see if I can bring it up on the video here. It's just massive.
I mean, like the is it the SN750 from Western Digital?
Yes.
It's kind of thick, but this is huge.
This is probably twice, if not three times the size of that. And it has heat pipes. Have you ever seen an M.2 heatsink that has heat pipes? You know what's really interesting? So when I was doing this, they sent us the one, let me bring it, try to go to it, this one that does not have anything. And I actually ran it with nothing, seeing what would happen.
It performed fine?
It got up to 80 degrees Celsius, but it didn't throttle and it didn't break, which is news to me. But we're giving this one away. We're giving the non-heatsinked one away. Super easy to enter, just like all of our contests. But yeah, I was actually really surprised that it didn't throttle. It got up to 80C and just was kept on chugging.
Cool.
But I would not recommend running it without a heatsink. I think all of our X570 motherboards have at least one heatsink, so you guys should be covered on that. But yeah, we're giving this away just to give something back to you guys and everything like that. But if you haven't seen the video, you know, you can see my face here and you can check that video out for sure. But yeah, I think that, like I said, just something to give back to you guys and, you know,
cool.
Pretty excited. And we'll have another new contest coming up again. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. And talking about Ryzen 3000 series, if you haven't made the plunge yet, I think at least if the prices are still the same, now would be the time, because the prices of Ryzen 3000 series have dropped. I'm going to check these to see
if they've changed at all.
$418.89. What did I say? Yeah, they're still the same prices, at least that I'm checking right now. Yep. I'm doing it right now. $339. What is this at?
$339.
Yeah. So they're pretty much, I'm only going to check two, but so the prices of Ryzen 3000 series, not 2000 series or first gen Ryzen, the prices of Ryzen 3000 series have dropped significantly. I don't know why.
6 months?
Yeah, maybe. 6 months. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not sure they don't need to be dropped, I would say.
Right. I mean, yeah, we're looking at what, $60 off, $70 off. That's a pretty good chunk of their... It's not like people were complaining about the prices.
Yeah, I thought the prices have been fair and are fair. And so like a Ryzen 9 3900X originally was $499. It's now $418.99. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Ryzen 7 3800X was $399. It's now $339.
I don't remember what I paid for mine when I bought it.
Ryzen 7 3700X was $329, is now $289. The Ryzen 5 3600X was $249. It's now $199. And then the Ryzen 5 3600 was $199. It's $174.99. So awesome price. Like, just like I said, if you haven't bought one now, and now that if you're stuck inside, if you can get these parts off Amazon, if it's not delayed, you could build and have your system up and running and be ready to game if you're stuck at home. So I just think that I have no clue why they dropped the prices. I don't think we're seeing a launch, not for a while, especially with what's going on in the world. So, pick them up. I mean, that's the lowest price.
So I think I got mine for $329. My 3800X was $329 at Black Friday.
Okay.
But still,
that's
a pretty good deal 6 months later.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all these are really, really good deals. I think that, again, if you need to buy a Ryzen 3, if you want to build a Ryzen 3000 series,
not a bad time.
I think, it's not a bad time whatsoever. Definitely. We have all the links here, or you just go on Amazon. All these prices are what I've got off Amazon. I believe they're the same on Newegg if you're a Newegg person. So go ahead and check all of that out. And we talked about a lot of cancellations last week because of what's going on in the world. So the first one, probably the first show that really involved us, maybe Mobile World Conference was first. I'm not sure. But GDC was the first one to get canceled or get delayed or whatever. But they have rescheduled it. So it's going to be August 4th through 6th. So I believe that's exactly 5 months later. I'm not sure. Same thing. It's going to be in San Francisco, starting August 4th and going to August 6th. So if you were wanting to go to GDC, I would just be so hard pressed because of what's going on to really book anything out.
Yep.
Till the end of the year, honestly.
Exactly.
But it looks like they're, like I said,
I know they have to like plan these things, right? Like,
yeah.
Cause they're probably going to try not to skip a year. If at all possible. So I understand they got to get them on the books and get these venues reserved. And
So that was the first one. And then of course the big one, we talked about this. We said, Computex is more than likely going to get canceled or postponed just for the fact of where it is. It's in Taiwan. And that was kind of like around where everything kind of started. So it has been postponed till September. The official word came out. So it is going to be September 28th through 30th, which makes it very close to CES, I would say. Be really interesting because we get a lot of launches at Computex, but if companies are pushing back those launches to, the end of September, then you have CES, 4 months later? Kind of weird. But
yeah.
So
it makes you wonder, like, are they, because they would have been pretty busy right now making sure everything's good to go for Computex. Do you think that they will try and push additional product through in that short time period that they've extended it? Or do you think they'll show up with what we were going to?
It's so hard to tell right now because we have seen some companies still put out press releases this week and still putting out products. And then you have companies that's like who have said, obviously NVIDIA, I think Be Quiet put out a thing. It's like, we're not announcing anything for a while, you know, because of what's going on. It would just be so hard to, as a company, like rebook this, because you don't know what's going on. Obviously, like, your supply chain is kind of screwed up right now. It's just so weird, you know, but September is the end of September is definitely pretty far out. So we could see, we don't know when all this craziness is going to end and everything, but like I said, it's a weird time. So, but those are the two that we wanted to tell you guys about. Talking about, obviously combating and fighting this disease. We talked about it last week. Last week? Was it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we talked about folding at home, and that's basically, it's a distributed computing platform that basically allows you researchers to use your CPU and GPU power to do computations and to more or less research this disease. And Folding at Home said that they are actively using that platform, which has been used to fight different cancers and things like that, to fight coronavirus. So, we told you guys how to get on it last week. And now this week, Dr. Greg Bowman, who is he the head of Folding at Home? I think
maybe.
He said that Folding at Home now has 470 petaflops of compute power. So that's two times the performance of the Summit supercomputer, which is the biggest supercomputer in the world. So it is the world's largest supercomputer. So our combined computing power is more powerful than the largest supercomputer in the world by two times, probably more now, because even more people are getting on it. We have created a Think Computers team if you guys wanted to join up. It's 242-628. And I will, there is a link in last week's show notes, how to set up the clients, how to get it running, how to do all that.
Yeah. Super easy.
It's super easy. You just let it run in the background, more or less.
You might be able to hear like my second system over there running right now. It's chugging away and on the CPU.
I usually have this system doing it, but obviously we're podcasting, and I usually have the system behind me, but I don't want to turn the AC on in here and it would just get so hot. You probably would see sweat because it gets so hot up here.
Yeah, my room heats up so fast when I've got them going.
But I think it's a great thing that, so many of us, like, we're sitting at home and we want to help, but you might not be able to help in certain ways. So this is a way you can help, in a way that we can at least do kind of like our part as PC people. Yeah. So definitely, you don't have to join the Think Computers team. You can join any team or just do it on your own. But I think it's something that if you have an extra computer, it's a great way to help out. So, yeah. Oldman said, I first heard about Folding at Home on the PS3. They have Folding at Home for PS3?
Yeah, so they had a client, and I had it on mine too when I was running. And I think it would show like the earth moving. Or you could show a couple things, but man, that thing would ramp up and the fan would just be chugging along. PS3 is like, people would, they'd have whole like racks full of PS3s.
Oh, that's awesome. Folding.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's really cool. I didn't know you had a console.
Yeah.
I was always an Xbox guy. Never got into the PlayStation at all.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And then Kayla said, when in doubt, laugh at my green headset.
We were like chatting outside of this.
Oh, I see. But yeah, well, no, I want to replace this headset with the other Razer one. It's a wiring thing that I have to do.
It's a thing.
It's a wiring thing. I like the Razer green. If people are hating on the Razer green, I like the Razer green. So
you need to chroma key it out and you'll just have these like black things on the side of your
head. Yeah. So yeah, I could make it into whatever I wanted, I guess, you know. Yep. So the one interesting piece of tech news this week, because everything else is pretty much has to do with kind of what's going on, I would say, is that the Intel Rocket like S platform slide was released, and it's pretty interesting because this is what will come after Comet Lake X, which should be, you know, that is 10th generation Intel desktop processor that's 400 series chipsets, things like that. But Rocket Lake XS will come after that. And it's kind of hard. Oh, actually, it comes up pretty big. Yeah. So the big things, the big changes that we will see is that the first thing is that you will get PCI Express 4.0. So that kind of is interesting to see because the rumor was after 10th generation, they would go right to PCI Express 5.0. But
oh, I don't remember.
I heard that rumor a while ago.
Okay.
So one thing that's really cool about that is that you're going to the direct 4.0 lanes will be to the CPU. So you're going to get 20 lanes and you're going to get your, that would mean that your GPU as well as NVMe storage will be 4.0, which is great because Ryzen is kind of kicking their ass in that respect. It's, well, on the storage side, the graphics, it doesn't make that big of a difference right now. So you're going to get that. The DMI or direct media interface will be upgraded to an X8 link as well. You're going to get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, but it's only 20 gig. It's not the 40. 20 gigs. Yeah, 20 gig. It's double 10 gig. Sorry. I'm thinking of Thunderbolt 3. So you're going to get that as well. And this is going to be an incremental update from Comet Lake. So we don't know what the architecture of the actual processor will be, if it's going to be the mysterious 10 nanometer.
So there's just some things I wanted to note real quick. Like, I'm hoping that the 2.5 gig Ethernet makes it like that's a thing now instead of just gig, right? I'd like to see that on more items, and hopefully 2.5 gig.
The thing that's good about that is that it's going to be part of the chipset now. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be by default. So you see 2.5 and even 10 gig, but that's because they put an extra controller. Chip,
right. Right. I'm just hoping that like helps spread that adoption across the board. But I'm also surprised, just like DDR4 still. I don't know what our timeline is for DDR5, but
I don't know either.
If we're close enough or not. So
yeah. And then they have Xe graphics architecture in here as well. So the internal graphics on the CPUs will have Xe graphics now, not what is the Intel integrated called now?
You had to ask. I mean, isn't it just like the HD whatever number?
Yeah, HD something. I'm pretty excited about a lot of these features. All the security flaws and stuff like that will obviously be a big thing with them. They said that Intel Software Guard extensions, the SGX, have been removed to improve security of the platform.
Good.
So that is a plus. The thing is, with all these diagrams, I think that like Intel has changed things around, and I just don't get excited until I actually see like this is what it's actually going to be, because we're decently far out. Like, we haven't even seen the 400 series chipsets yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're
seeing 500 already.
Yeah, and a lot of these things, like, we don't know when any of this is going to come. So that's something, I don't know. I can't get excited about it until we actually see it and we get like a better timeline. But for those who want to kind of see what's coming from Intel, this is what's coming, hopefully.
Yeah.
So one really cool thing that I saw today online is that I saw this image, and I'll bring it up for you guys, of a Lego 3D FX Voodoo graphics card. And I was like to myself, where do I buy this? Because I want a couple, because I want to put them in the office, and I want to, like,
cool.
Yeah, it'd just be something cool. I know you and in your office, like, if you guys look at Ryan, can I bring up just Ryan on this?
Oh, man.
Oh, wait, no, that's just his face. I don't think I can.
You can bring me up, like, solo, can't you?
No, I don't think I can. No? Well, anyways, you guys can see. You can see.
Stuff here. There's more Legos, toys. Yeah.
So you can see all of Ryan's stuff there. And I was like, one, it's 3DFX, which, if you've been around computers long enough, it's like iconic graphics card brand. I had a Voodoo too. So to have something like this as a Lego, I like immediately wanted it. But I come to learn that this is just an idea. So I didn't even know this. Because I'm not like a huge Lego nerd, but Lego Ideas is a website where you can put an idea out there to Lego. And if you get enough supporters, they'll actually make the product, which is kind of cool.
There's nothing keeping you from doing it right now, right? You could probably figure out what bricks you need to build that, but to be an official part would be kind of cool.
Yes, because I don't want to buy random brick. Like, I just want to buy, you know, I just want to like go on Amazon and buy these. Yeah. So there's 418 days left, 168 supporters. They need 10,000. So I would urge all of you, we have the link in right here. This link, which goes to the Lego Ideas website. You do have to register, which is kind of crappy. To put support, but go ahead and register on the Lego website and support this project, because as PC people, it would be awesome to have a Lego that has to do with us. I mean, this is like it's a graphics card. I mean, it's pretty awesome. And it's an iconic graphics card at that, is a 3DFX graphics card.
Yeah. I'd almost like choose a different card, but
what card would you choose?
I don't know. I have like a special place for like, I think the GeForce 2, not so much the GeForce 2, or maybe the 4 series, but I don't know. This is a 3DFX Voodoo, like the Voodoo.
Voodoo,
it's so iconic, 2, right? I think.
Yeah, the Voodoo 2 was like the card. That was the best card at the time. Yeah. So if you want to support this project, I already have. You can log in, or not log in. You have to register to support it, but I would support it because I think it's really cool. So definitely check that one out for sure. I just thought that was, like I said, I would at least buy at least a couple. You know, put one on my desk, put one on the shelves back there. Just be kind of cool. Yeah. So talking about social distancing and staying at home, GOG, which is, if you don't know, is basically like a game service, much like Steam. Yep. They have this stay-at-home game bundle, which is 100% free, and you get 27 games. Can see, or wait, I didn't bring it up on screen. You can see I own, because I got this all, I got them all in this thing. But probably
check it out.
There's a ton of games, 27 free games that, of course, they're encouraging us to stay at home. I think that's what we should be doing at this time. And yeah, it's one. I mean, even if, like I said, there's 27 free games. Postal, Classic, and Uncut. That's a good one. I didn't even look at them. I just put them into my account. Ultima, that's pretty cool. I don't know any of these other ones.
Even if you haven't even seen them, like, they could be like an awesome game, and it's awesome.
Builders of Egypt. That sounds cool. I'm into that. I'm into Builders of Egypt. That sounds cool.
It's like an RTS maybe or something?
Yeah, it says a strategy game.
Cool.
But yeah, like, just free games. And you can't complain. Nobody can complain about free games. Nope. So we have, again, 27 free games here that you guys can go ahead and get. And then the next one is that a very popular game is now free on Epic Games. It's part of their free, you know, they offer free games. This is Watch Dogs. And it is free on the Epic Games Store till tomorrow. I think it runs out tomorrow, the 26th. So just log into Epic and get it. It will take up a lot of your time. And I think that it came out in 2016.
Did you play it?
Or 14.
Oh.
I did play it. It was decently good for what it is. For a free, like, again, we can't complain about a free game.
Sure.
So I think that it's free, you know, the biggest thing I think is that you, with all these Epic games, like, you don't have to download them. You just hit it, just add it to your account.
Add it to your inventory, and then when you're ready to play it, grab it.
Yeah. Old Man said that Watch Dogs is a good game. Yeah, I like playing it. So it's free on Epic Games. I know a lot of people don't like Epic Games, but you do get the free games there. So, yeah. And there'll be new games next week. They do it every week. They have at least one free game, if not two. So again, if you know, you have all this free time right now and you're looking for free games, that's another way to do it. Epic Games has a ton. So check that out as well. And then the most, or I wouldn't say it's the most, but one of the most iconic PC games of all time, it could possibly be getting a remaster now. If it did, would you get it?
No.
You wouldn't get it?
Why not? I didn't even play through all of Crysis. Actually, you know what? I didn't even play Crysis.
You didn't play the original?
I did not.
Oh, why?
I was thinking Far Cry at first, right? But no, I didn't play any Crysis.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So when you said like one of the most iconic or something, my mind immediately went to Doom, and it made me think of Doom Eternal.
Yeah.
I think that just came out, but no, I don't really care about
Crisis. So,
sorry.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing is that everybody knows the saying, but will it run Crisis? Because Crisis always pushed the graphical boundaries. And if you turn that game all the way up, like it just melted everything. Like it melted your PC. Yeah. Like it just was that taxing. And they always, in the game, if you said you haven't played it, like it is beautiful. It is a beautiful game. Much like it reminds me a lot of Far Cry, actually.
CryEngine.
Yeah. So Crytek, they put out this video, I think yesterday, called Never Stop Achieving. It shows their games of like, here, I'll just play it. I'll turn this off. You know, it shows some of the games and part of the engine. And at the end, you see this, let me get to the end here. You see this world. And what is this world? This is like an iconic scene from the original Crisis. And you're just like, wait a minute. And then it ends. You know what I mean? Cool. So we more or less think that it's going to be a remaster coming out. They hinted at it already. EA already confirmed that they're working on exciting remasters of fan favorites. This is obviously a huge fan favorite. It was obviously a big game at the time. You have new consoles coming out that would obviously, you know, help pump this game up as well. So I would hope that they would remaster this game, because it is a really fun game and it's a beautiful game. And if it's remastered to take advantage of new graphics technologies and everything like that, I think it would look amazing. Cool. So that is our news for the week.
That's it.
Yeah, not like a lot of gaming news, which I kind of like this week.
Definitely. So,
talking about what we have coming up next week, guess I'm reviewing another super fast portable SSD. I love these things.
Yeah,
I love these things. So this one is actually from Lexar. It is their SL100 Pro, 950 megabytes a second read, 900 megabytes a second write. I have the 500 gigabyte version. It is actually, I have it now that I think about it, sitting right here. It's very small, but you know,
pretty thin.
Pretty thin. USB 3.2 Gen 2. This one is a little heavier. The aluminum casing is actually pretty beefy compared to some of the other ones, so excited to take a look at that. And then I'll also be taking a look at something I think I've fell in love with like certain things this year, or you know, over the past 6 months. One is obviously these guys, super fast portable storage, but the second thing is lightweight gaming mice. And I'm going to be taking a look at the Model D from Glorious PC Gaming Race. Again, this one is,
what was the model you looked at previously?
The Model O.
Okay.
But the Model D, 68 grams. I think the Model O was a little bit lighter. So the biggest thing with this one, the design is a little bit different from the Model O. So it's kind of nice that Glorious PC Gaming Race is making, because you get a mouse and it's like the only mouse they make, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're coming out with four or five different ones over the course of the next year that are like just a little, you know, slightly tweaked a little bit differently, a little bit heavier, a little bit lighter here and there. So again, I have the Model O, I have the Cooler Master ones. I'll be interested to see what this one's kind of all about. So excited to tell you guys about that one as well. And we might have more stuff. It just all depends on, you know, what we get done throughout the week. Because it is kind of a busy time and it's kind of a crazy time for everybody as well. So, is there anything that you did this week?
Not like fun stuff, but I got to interact with a whole bunch of new laptop models, including like one of the Asus models that has a screen and the touchpad.
Oh, how is that? Because
Because I didn't actually get to like see it. I saw the laptop, but I didn't see it on. But everybody was kind of like, "Oh, it was pretty cool." But I interacted with a lot of systems in the $500 to $1,000 range this week, like new models that are out there, stuff with i5s, some of the AMD 3000 series mobile stuff, and every single one of them that I've interacted with, it's so awesome that you're getting those types of processors, 4 to 8 gigs of RAM, solid state drives in pretty much every one of them, like some pretty nice systems for the price point in the consumer market. So that was kind of nice to see that. I feel like I could really tell someone, as long as you're spending between X and X amount of dollars, you're probably going to be all right getting a system. You know, no more of these spinning disks and laptops that are just going to chug and, you know, 768, you know, 13x7 resolutions. I'm sure there's still some out there, but it was nice to see like the what the mid-range average laptop looks like. So, and that's all just kind of in conjunction with the whole remote work type of world we're living in right now. It was neat to see a bunch of new hardware from Lenovo, Dell, Asus, HP.
I think like for us, we don't really see laptops all that much. Like we'll get a gaming one in here or there. And obviously those are pretty specced out, but just to see kind of like what's available, because it's like an everyday use case for a lot of people. I think that like $500 to $800, $500 to $700
is like a pretty nice device. I was like, oh, okay. If I was in the like arena for one, I could just go down to Best Buy or whatever and grab something pretty nice.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see that.
Yeah.
I haven't really done anything tech wise. Just been dead
yeah,
tired.
I've been testing stuff. I had so much fun with that monitor. I'm like so upset it's not in front of me. I feel like I have to send that one back, but I might. I don't know.
You're not gonna be off your game.
I might be off my game. You never know. Besides that, not much. I'm trying to think if I did anything. No. One thing that's really nice. So like obviously with everything going on, I don't have cable. So like I don't have cable. So like watching news is like on my TV is kind of difficult. You know what I mean? But I have a Samsung TV and they have the Samsung TV Plus, whatever. It's free. It's like
free stuff.
It's like streaming TV. So I can actually watch the news live. It's being streamed, but essentially it's live. So if you do have a newer Samsung smart TV, I assume you have that. I think that's really cool because I don't have cable and some, you know, like for stuff that's going on, like what's going on now, I think that watching live news is kind of like important. Besides that, I've seen that a lot of people are putting out guides on how to use webcams and how to stream for teachers, which is pretty cool. And I've seen a lot of people put out guides on how to use, I guess the app that all the schools are using is called Zoom.
Yeah, when I worked in higher ed, like we had rolled that out like in the year probably before I left, and we're holding a ton of classes online with Zoom. So yeah, Zoom's pretty popular in education, WebEx in the corporate world, and just like, hey folks, make sure like what's in your background is okay to be in a call, right? So we've had to, you know, remind people of our policies and just here's some tips for that kind of stuff.
I think it is pretty interesting to see all of the working from home and people, businesses innovating with certain things. I think one of the founders of Snapchat or one of the social media, they made a website where a website or service where anybody that owns a restaurant can sell gift cards, because not a lot of especially local businesses have like a gift card option because that's just not part of their business. But there's a lot of those restaurants that are really hurting right now. So to be able to buy a gift card online for that is pretty cool.
And then use it later or something.
Yeah. So like stuff like that. Cool. I'm not sure if I saw anything else.
And then Half-Life Alex.
Oh, yeah. We were going to talk about that.
We kind of talked about it before the show. Yeah. So I looked at a couple like articles about it in like the 5 minutes of free time and like looked through a couple screenshots. It looks really awesome. I don't think I'm in the mood to play that game right now. Just like my mind isn't like, that's not the game I want to play right now.
Yeah,
I want to play it. I think it looks amazing. I can't wait to give it a shot.
I've only heard good things. I believe that it was the best selling VR title ever, which kind of makes sense because it's like, this is the new Half-Life game. Of course we want it. And the only way to get it is with VR and on PC. So no console there either. So do you think this is a game that's going to make people buy headsets?
It might. It might be. And it makes me want to get new controllers, because I think some of the new controllers that are strapped to your hands, right? I'm not as up on VR as I was, so like I'm not going to try and name the names of the controllers and all those, but yeah. 'Cause I have the original Vive. I think the new controllers are even more impressive for this game. With the ones that I have, you have to actively hold them. I think there's some stuff you can do with your fingers more interactively with some of the other controllers that you can't do with mine. But I think it still looks pretty amazing.
Do you think that I haven't played... Oh, I played a few games on VR. I don't have a VR headset. Do you think that... I mean, this game was specific. Like, this is a game, and it's not as... It's a game. It's not an experience, because a lot of VR games are essentially like a VR experience. Like, what's the one, the Slash Saber? Like, that's an experience. Yeah. That's not really like a game, right?
Yeah, I'd call it a game still, as much as Rock Band or Guitar Hero is a game. Yeah.
Okay. But like, I feel like this was really like meant to be like a game where you feel so immersed, and I know VR is supposed to do that, but not a lot of games really kind of give you that.
Yep.
Where like, I always thought that Half-Life games, I felt like I was playing a movie. And I think that this, especially being a VR game, really gives you that. At least from what I've read.
I'll be interested to try it out. I haven't bought it yet. Not going to play it right now, but I think I'm excited to at some point.
And the other big release is Doom Eternal. I haven't got it. I thought about getting it just because it looks really good.
I bought the last Doom that came out in 2016 maybe, and I've played a couple hours of it, and I really enjoyed it. It's just like I have so many. It's that age old problem. Like, oh, I've got all these games and I never play them. Right, my Steam library is loaded full of games that I'm sure are awesome, and I go back to the games that I play all the time, right? I'm back playing Apex and things like that.
That's the thing. It's like I've had more free time because like I'm, you know, because of what's going on, and I thought about getting it. I thought about like getting into like I downloaded the new Call of Duty, but I was just like, you know, there's just like we like playing Apex, and that's what we're gonna play after this stream. You know what I mean?
New Call of Duty Battle Royale does look pretty cool.
It's just that's like not my thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Just,
Old Man said he'll get Doom Eternal when it's on sale. Probably the same, unless if I need to get it. Like I don't know if it has the benchmark. Yeah, but who knows when we're going to get new GPUs at this point either. I mean, but yeah, some pretty awesome games. You know, if you have VR, definitely check out Half-Life Alyx. If you're playing PC, we linked you all the free games that you can pick up. But also you have Doom Eternal. And is there any other games coming out soon? I don't even know.
I mean, Cyberpunk, but that's not for quite a while.
Yeah,
that's
not for quite a while. What
was the game that, or Farm? What's the game that came out for like
Animal Crossing?
I don't.
I never.
I know it came out as big, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna get to gaming, obviously. Yeah. So we're gonna be on twitch.tv/thinkcomputers right there. As you guys can see, we'll be on there. We're gonna be playing Apex. Do we have a third person this week?
Possibly. We'll see if they're around. Did we talk about the SSD yet? Pete Robinson in chat is asking if we talked about the SSD.
Oh yeah, we did, but we can go over it again. Sorry, I don't have the. I don't know what I'm doing over here. you should be running this because I don't know. I'm going back and forth between windows in my but anyways, so I'll bring it up here. Let me bring it up. So the Viper, I assume he's talking about the Viper VPR 100. We talked about it earlier in the podcast, but we'll talk to you about it as well. For Pete, and it is an RGB M.2 SSD PCI Express 3.0. I'll show you what it looks like lit up because I'm sure that's what you want to see. It is an RGB. It is an RGB M.2. And of course, that's what it looks like. It looks amazing. I think it's
performs pretty well, right?
And yeah, just it performs right up
by the lighting a bit.
Yeah. So I think it's more affected by the motherboard lighting than your like the Viper kind of affects it a little bit, but when you get to using your own motherboard's lighting software, it really affects the performance. But even at those numbers, it's not something you're massively going to notice, right? Especially if you're doing sequential, what firmware it's running? I can tell you that. Hold on. It should be in our...
They say they have it and it works great. So I wonder if there's just some sort of a...
Yeah. The ECFM 12.3. That's what's on mine. But yeah, hit us up, Pete. If you go into our Discord, I can definitely help you out because I have the drive here and we can obviously troubleshoot it for you. If you're having some issues, I didn't have any, I literally had no issues with it. The only issues you might run into is that if you have motherboard RGB software and it detects it and then you install the Viper software or vice versa, they will kind of interact with each other. They'll kind of like
each other a little bit.
They'll cancel each other out. There's some issues with all RGB software in that respect. But yeah, we're running 12.3. So if you have any questions, hop in our Discord. It is linked in our show notes, which you can check out in the description of this video. So go ahead and do that. But we will be jumping off here. As I said, we are going to be going on to Twitch again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, playing some Apex. Hopefully get some wins tonight, get some good footage.
Well, last week we had, game one win?
Yeah, we got worse after that. Every game after that, we got worse.
That's all right.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, we are going to get out of here. But as always, we thank you for tuning in and joining us. And we hope everybody out there is staying safe during all of the craziness. And hopefully you're either folding at home or playing video games. So see you guys in the next one.